اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة، آتي محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة، وبعث مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته، إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned that person who will read the dua after azan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the intercession of Quran al-Majid wal Furqan al-Hamid. يا أيها الذين آمنوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. وقال تبارك وتعالى إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة. تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا ما لكم إذا قيل لكم انفروا في سبيل الله ثاقلتم إلى الأرض أرضيتم بالحياة الدنيا من الآخرة فما متاع الحياة الدنيا في الآخرة إلا قليل. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لغدوة في سبيل الله أو روحة خير من الدنيا وما فيها. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most beloved and respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers and all those who are listening over the receivers, we make shukr and we are extremely grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His countless bounties and His favors upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely kind and is merciful. He is Rahman and Rahim. He is most compassionate, most merciful. He is Arhamur Rahimin, the most compassionate and most merciful. And no matter what our condition is, our physical condition, our financial condition, spiritual condition, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the bestower. We always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, you guide us. O Allah, you shower your mercies upon us. And you continue showering your grace upon us. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. That on the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the grace and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should rejoice. And we should actually talk about it and express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And always keep remembering that when it comes to principles and matters of this dunya, then look at those people who are less fortunate than us, no matter what our current situation is. When it comes to matters and aspects of this dunya, whether it's our physical condition, whether it's our spiritual condition, whether it's our financial condition, look at those less fortunate than us. So you have no shoes, extremely poor and extreme difficulty you're going through. Look at that person who got no legs. You got a 1-2-bedroom house and 5 children sleeping in one house. Make shukr that person who doesn't have a roof over his head sleeping on the street. You have only 1 meal to eat for the day. Make shukr there are people who haven't eaten for days. So whatever our current situation is as far as the dunya is concerned, we should always look at those less fortunate than us. And inshallah, Allah is the provider. Allah knows what is the needs of every person. And He is the only one that can fulfill every person's needs. No human being, every one of us sitting here, we have some type of difficulty, some challenges, some issues. As I said, whether it's even a medical condition you're going through, heart problem, or maybe diabetes, whatever, it came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the only one that can remove those challenges and difficulties. The moment our focus shifts from away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's where our starting point for our trouble and problem is. Our conditions came from Allah, and He is the one who will remove those conditions and situations. And we sometimes have hope, and our gaze shifts from Allah to some creation, and that's where I said our problem is. So yes, Allah can use the doctor as a means to give you shifa. But Allah doesn't need the doctor. He can give you shifa even without the doctor. And you can go to the doctor and still die, get more sick. Because shifa is not in His hands. Shifa is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sickness came from Him, the shifa also in His hands. So we have to make our primary focus and attention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're going through financial difficulties and challenges, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a provider. Allah can make you wealthy overnight and wealthy person poor overnight also. He is the one that provides. إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَالرَّزَّقُ. Allah is the one who is a sustainer and provider. So all, no matter what our condition is, always those who are less fortunate than us, and make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our gaze should always be on the supreme being, the one who is totally in charge. Nothing happens without his permission. Not the leaf will fall from the tree without his permission. So the one rand that you need more, or the 1 million rand that you need more, or whatever you need, you'll never get it if it is not the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The 1 morsel of food more or less, you are not going to get it or deprived of it if it is not the decree and the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything happens wholly and solely and only with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So always remember, all the time, every Friday we're hearing the talks also, the whole objective, even we're reading our salah. In fact, the whole objective and purpose of us being created is to link ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us in this world, is to recognize Him. Imagine we came in this world, right? And we have a nice house, nice car, nice degree, nice job, and everything we have, besides the objective and purpose of what we have been sent. That person is actually unsuccessful. No matter how outwardly you can see the individual, he seems to be prosperous, he seems to be having a comfortable life, maybe he got dull degrees attached to his name, maybe he has nice businesses, he owns chain stores, and seemingly everything went well physically with him, but that person is actually unsuccessful if he doesn't have Allah in his life. Simple example, if you have 2 people, one person on the one side, he has everything of this world, all the comforts and the luxuries of this world, he has the houses and the cars and the buildings and the jobs and degrees and everything, but doesn't have Iman, doesn't have Allah. On the other hand, you got somebody who's sleeping on the street, he got nothing. He doesn't even have food, no clothing, but he has Allah. From the two, unfortunately, we have been brainwashed and we have been deceived. That's why the wealth of this world, Allah mentions in the Quran, is mata'ul ghurur. It's a deception. Deception is when you think something is there, but actually is not there. So we are living in such a system and environment that it has brainwashed us and deceived us that you'll be successful only if you have a good job and you got a good degree and you got money and you got food and you got nice house, nice clothing, everything of this dunya. And it's taken out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the whole equation. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the criteria. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the reason for a person being created. So as I said, the person who had everything of this world, A to Z, name it, he has it. But he has no Allah. Can we call him a successful person? Never. He is going to face eternal doom. He is going to be in problem upon problem for the rest of his eternal life. And this person B, has zero, nothing as far as this world goes. But inshallah, when you leave this world, leaves with the kalima, leaves with iman, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, massive difference. This person is going to be in eternal, forever and ever in Jannah. So he might have to go through temporary difficulties in this world. 60 years, 70 years, he never had food, never had clothes, he was battling, was struggling, but he had iman. So that temporary struggle, he will tolerate, but inshallah he's gonna get eternal bliss. Another person, he'll have all the outward comforts and luxuries of this world. 50 years, 60 years, he'll have a nice car, nice house, nice clothing, nice food, but no iman. As soon as his eyes closes, he's gonna be punished, eternal doom. So very, very, very important. Make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us the greatest of all bounties and He has given us that iman. He has made us Muslim, reciters of the kalima la ilaha illallah, which is the main visa, the main passport for our eternal salvation. And none of us sitting here have achieved it or got it through our own. It is merely the grace and the mercy of Allah. That is why I read the ayah of the Quran, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. Be grateful, we get happy. I got a nice new car, I got a nice job, nice clothing, nice food. It gives us enjoyment. And you're happy. Yes, you enjoy the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be happy. But the greatest bounty of Allah that we are enjoying, that Allah has bestowed us, He made us Muslim. He made us mu'min, reciters of this kalima. We believe in Him. And we got the passport for eternal salvation. So that's why, coming back to the point I started off with, in as far as things of this world, look at the people who are less fortunate. Be grateful to Allah that whatever condition He has put you, and inshallah continue with life. But when it comes to deen, when it comes to matters of deen, Allah has given us the most important thing, has made us reciters of this kalima. And look at those who are superseding us, who are doing better than us, and strive and make an effort so that we can excel. And most importantly, is that iman that we have now, we have made such an effort so that when we leave this world with this iman. Because I don't have the guarantee, nor does anybody sitting here have a guarantee, that we're going to leave this world with iman. It requires an effort. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave it to us. We have iman. We believe in Allah. The fact that we're sitting here is already testament, evidence that we have iman. We believe in Allah. We can make sajda to Him, we're reading salah. But how are we going to preserve this iman? And how are we going to try and make sure that we leave this world with iman? And also now, we have to make an effort that our progeny also, it requires an effort. It's not just going to be there. Our progeny, our children, our women folk, our grandchildren, how can iman remain in them? That much of our focus is on the dunya. Like, I'm going to set up my life, I'm going to retire, and my children, I'm going to set them up. Is all our focus is on this dunya. But as I said, it's a deception. The criteria and the benchmark and the yardstick that we are using is a deception. It's not the correct criteria that we're using. That is why Allah termed it mata'ul ghurur. It is deceiving us. We have to keep reminding ourselves. The main effort and the main criteria for our salvation is our iman. And what can I do? That's the question now. I spoke, the introduction was about emphasizing the valuable thing that we have. But the next question for the next few minutes is now, what are we going to do? What can we do so that this iman can remain with us, so that we can leave this world with iman, and inshallah be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah with the mu'mineen? It can't be, logically, that we have iman, or we are Muslim, but we're doing everything against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not making effort for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we expect now to be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whereas in this world, we love everything that is opposite to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We want to be in Jannat al-Firdaus, but in this world we are doing everything opposite. It can't work like that. So there has to be some synergy, that we are striving for this eternal salvation. We want to be in Jannah. We want to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We want to be with Sahaba ikram on the day of Qiyamah. And we want to be with them in Jannah. So this temporary life, we have to lead it in a way that is eventually taking us there. So we have this iman. We want to be with iman when we leave this world. And we want to be on the day of Qiyamah with those people. So there has to be some effort for it. And that is why Allah mentions in the Quran, no, we all talk about business. And we know business is money. It's buying and selling. Simple business. You got 10 rand. You go to the shop. You give the man 10 rand, maybe 2 less now. You give him 20 rand, give you 1 loaf of bread. So business is you give and you get something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has directed our minds and our focus and our attention to a business in the Quran. And He says, can I tell you of a very good investment and a business proposition? You all like business propositions where the best ROI, where I can get the best return on investment. You say 5%, you say 2 less, I want 10%. 10% is 2 less, I want 15%. Where you can get the best return on your investments. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all sitting here capital. And the two capital I'm talking about is not money. Allah talks about the capital of two things. And the two things He says is يا أيها الذين آمنوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم. Two things, your wealth and your health or your time. Even in an ayah of the Quran, إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين, Allah says that He has purchased from you. There's a business, there's a deal, that dealing and dealing that is taking place. So Allah is giving us, He says, give me your time and give me your wealth. And in exchange of that, I will give you something. What Allah is going to give us? بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. I will give you Jannah. Now, if you go to the shop, logically, if you want the bread, you must give the seller 20 rand, he'll give you the bread. Now you can't go to the shop, don't give him the 20 rand and still want the bread. It can't work like that. You see, this man is robbing, he's cheating. There's a exchange that is taking place. You give something, you get something. Every one of us sitting here want Jannah. Inshallah, Allah grant us Jannatul Firdaus. But it requires us to give something. It requires us to sacrifice something that will allow us to get the Jannah. And coming back, the capital that Allah has given us. Allah, through His mercy, He has given us the capital also. And He's saying, you make the investment with the capital I give you. In the beginning, I spoke about whatever we have is from Allah. So Allah, through His grace, He gave us the capital and He's telling us how to use the capital. He didn't say, go work for the capital, have invested. I'll give you the capital. So Allah gave us life and Allah gave us wealth. Every cent that we have came from Allah. Every breath that you take, every second, every minute that you have is from Allah. Now we have to use the wealth that we have, and we have used the time and the health that we have for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what the crux of it is. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us Jannah. So now the question arises, what do we mean, I must use my time or my wealth for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Simply, if you want something, if you go to the shop, you're going to take your money, you give it, the man gives you the goods. So now we want this Jannah, so we have to take the wealth and the health that we have and use it in a way that Allah wants us to use it. Then inshallah Allah will give us. So how are we going to use your wealth? By striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are so many different avenues. So you can keep reminding yourself, the health and the wealth that we have is not ours. It's a trust from Allah. And Allah wants us to use it in a certain way. And using in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our wealth, is spending it on the poor and less fortunate. Spending it on our family. We are doing it. Many of these things, we are doing it. But I want the mindset to change. The intention behind how we are doing it. Now when you're spending and you're buying something for your family, Allah, I'm spending, I'm working, so that I can spend money and buy something for my family. Every morsel of food that I even put in my wife's mouth will be a form of sadaqah. The intention, the mindset. Through this, this is my investment. I'm using it in a way that Allah, you asked me to use it. And I'm getting through my wealth, I'm getting my Jannah. When you're helping the poor person, it's not doing it for just for name, for fame, or for popularity, to get some favor back. Oh Allah, I'm helping this poor person, the wealth that you gave me, because I want Jannah. I'm giving something, and I'm going to get something in exchange for your pleasure. And like that, every cent that you earn, and every cent that you spend, that, oh Allah, it is your money. I want the return on my investment. I want to get Jannah. I want your pleasure. I want your happiness. And every second of our life, every second of our life, I'm using it in the way that Allah wants me to use it. And that is why the ulama, they give us broad guidelines. We should try and focus our life, revolve it around these four actions, and I will complete and try, inshallah, today after Jummah when we go home. Every Friday we go home, okay, the Maulana spoke, what did he speak? Then we start scratching our heads. Not talking about next week Jummah time, or after 2 weeks, after half an hour. So today, inshallah, remember, Maulana said, up till now I spoke for 15 minutes, I don't know how much we remembered, but inshallah, remember these 4 points. Everything we do in our life should revolve around these four actions. Number one is dawah. Whatever we do, we should be trying to bring people closer to the objective, inviting people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because remember in the beginning I said, our objective is connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, preserving our iman, trying to make sure we die with iman, being resurrected on the day of Qiyamah with iman. So the more we will talk about this at home, talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In business, talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dawah doesn't only mean that now when you're going to some neighboring locality, there's a specific group that does it. Everybody is sitting here. Ballighu anni walau ayah. Even if you know whatever it is, little of deen, talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more we listen about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, it is the way of preserving our iman. Think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, when you're looking at something, you go out, you look at the tree. MashaAllah, what a beautiful tree. This is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look with the eye of iman. You look at your wife, you say, MashaAllah, what a beautiful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is your own wife, not somebody else's wife. So, listening, looking, thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is all form of da'wah. And these are the avenues that will penetrate and go into our hearts. You meet customers. Sometimes it's directly, with hikmah, with wisdom. But the more we do this, talk about Allah, listen about Allah, think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are forms of dawah, then inshallah this will penetrate our heart and it's a way of preserving our iman. And it's a responsibility we have. One is ourselves, preserving our own iman. But we are not in isolation, in silos, own pockets, only ourselves. We are an ummah. And ummah means you worry about others. So the second point is learning and teaching. Remember the first point, da'wah, preserving our iman. Two, ta'lim and ta'allum. We need to learn, keep learning and teaching. The more we learn about our deen, the more we learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we learn about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's a way of preserving our iman. And then teach it to others. Not only a teacher's job to teach, everybody is sitting here. In every day, some way or another, you're teaching. Whether you're a businessman, whether you're a professional, there are opportunities for you to teach and to learn yourself. From the cradle to the grave, we continue learning. So engage in lots and all opportunities. Alhamdulillah, we can learn through ta'lim in our homes. Make sure we got the halaqat of ta'lim that is taking place there. If you do an audit, yesterday 12 o'clock to today 12 o'clock, in my house, did the name of Allah even be mentioned? Children about Allah. They tell my children about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of us, we can talk about everything else. All the politics of the world. But you see, talk about Allah, she's shy. I don't know what to talk. How must I talk? What must I tell? We're not telling you to give a speech in an old stadium to 50,000 people. Your children, your subordinates, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness, everything connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one way that can come alive is to read some reliable book, halaqat of ta'lim in our homes. Start that. From masail, we go to the ulama. Hey, I'm going to business, I'm getting married. What are the rules and regulations? So learning and teaching should be ongoing all the time. Then the third thing, the first one was da'wah. Second one was learning and teaching. The third amal the ulama tell us that we can always be engaged in to preserve our iman is ibadat and dhikr. Da'wat, ta'lim and ta'allum. The third one is ibadat and dhikr. We're reading our salah. It's not just a tick box exercise, a burden that's in our head. We want to get over and done with. Salah is a way that I must get connected to my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you make a dhikr, it's not just about pulling the tasbih. It's about making the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dominate our hearts. So the more we engage in ibadah, but consciously, all the time, the more salah, preparation for salah, getting enjoyment of salah. How many of us here sitting can say that I get enjoyment, I get the peace, I get satisfaction when I take the name of Allah, when I read salah. Rasulullah said, Mr. Bilal radiyakum, farihna bis salah. Oh Bilal, stand up, call out the azan, so I get some raha through my salah. Most of us, maybe can't talk for others, but it's like a burden rather, we want to get it over and carry on. So now we need to change the mindset. We get the sweetness of the tilawat of Quran. There's a sweetness and enjoyment, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with that mindset, preparation, it's effort. It requires an effort. It won't just come like that. And the last one, the ulama say, is khidmat. That the more we serve and we look out for opportunities, khidmat say, khuda milta hai. When you make khidmat of others, whoever it is, rich, poor, black, white, neighbor, Muslim, non-Muslim, even if you make khidmat of the animals, these are all opportunities of preserving our iman. There's so many incidents, time is up. But we hope inshallah that these are amal that we spoke about, these four amal. One, da'wah. Number two, the ta'lim and the ta'allum. Da'wah, talking about Allah, listening about Allah, seeing about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'lim and ta'allum, learning and teaching all the time. Ibadat, making sure that we're there for improving the quality of our ibadat. No compromise on our ibadat and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in various forms. And khidmat, the opportunities we have, you must seize it. So alhamdulillah, we're very fortunate that in our communities, we have programs that take place. Every Friday, we can listen to bands. Then there's zikr majlis that takes place. Then there's this programs and programs, alhamdulillah. Now we need to make sure we join and participate for our own spiritual nourishment and for our own salvation eternally. So in this regard also, alhamdulillah, next week, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, there'll be a very important program that is taking place in Tilth Crescent, and the ijtima that is taking place, which is a gathering. Ijtima comes from the word jama'a. Jama'a means gathering. In this gathering, we'll be basically talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we can benefit from the mahol. Mahol means environment. We all get affected by an environment. If you're in an environment of buying and selling, then that environment has an impact on your heart all the time. Then you'll also be thinking of buying and selling. Even your sleep will be buying and selling. You see, whole day you're listening about Gena Pagati, when you sleep also, you'll say Gena Pagati. Go, business. If you're in an environment of something else, so the environment has an impact. The Rasulullah gave the example, person goes to an ether shop, either he's gonna buy the atar, or that seller will put some atar for him, at least you'll get the smell of the fragrance. In the opposite, somebody goes to a braai or there's a fire, either get burnt or the smoke will come on his clothes, but there's an effect on the environment on him. So in a similar way, it's all about being in an environment. So inshallah, these a'mal will be taking place there, ta'lim and ta'allum, ibadat, mashayikh will be sharing important advices. So we humbly request you inshallah from next week Friday till Jummah, till Sunday about 11:30 at Tilth Crescent, the gathering that is taking place. We humbly request you to inshallah attend this program and also encourage others as well. And the women folk also have a role to play. Although the gathering physically is for the males to attend, but also women folk can make dua. They have also a role to play. They make dua, inshallah, the effort that they will make in sending the husbands and the male folk to these gatherings, they'll also earn a share of the reward. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of practicing whatever has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.